If you're ready to confront your destiny, if this is the moment that you've been praying for, tune in and listen to your cosmic cheerleader, Commander Lady Athena, for cosmic pep talks, for closet Christ. The show is the voice of the Ashtar Command. The call is for you to step forward into your greatness. Be listening on Wednesday. We have an appointment with destiny.
Greetings in the living love that is and that we all are. I'm Commander Lady Athena, and you're listening to the voice of the Ashtar Command, Cosmic Pep Talks for Closet Christ. This evening, our seminar topic is All Things Are Lessons God Would Have Me Learn. All things are lessons God would have me learn. And that is a lesson from A Course in Miracles that will be basically the theme that I want to speak on tonight. So if you're ready, take a deep breath and allow that magnificent soul that is your true self to wed and merge with your physical human personality. Get used to that feeling as you call yourself forward, how it begins to energetically feel. And perhaps each of us experiences it in a slightly different way. But you cannot possibly not have a response. You will always have a response when you call forward your divine self to come present and to align with your personality. Let's take another deep breath and do that again. And just feel it from the very top of your head all the way down through your body, all the way down into your feet. And experience what it feels like to be just centered and quiet and present. Do you know if you could just stay there? There's absolutely nothing else required. There's nothing else to be done. Perhaps those that have attained that state where that's maintained most of the time, if not always, are kind of rare. But many of us have attained that state in other lifetimes as yogis, as hermits, perhaps in convents and ashrams. So those of you that I speak to each week, I would imagine have had probably quite a few lifetimes in which you have been sequestered in prayer, in solitude, in meditation. And in this incarnation, we are to be mobile love, love on 2 feet, so that love occupies us fully. And we learn to hold that very, very powerful energy of love that is really who and what we are. We learn how to hold it incrementally. Perhaps it begins with a meditation or a spiritual practice. Maybe you have to, in the beginning, go off to a quiet place. Maybe you have to take a retreat periodically. But the whole idea is to be walking meditation 24/7. So you don't have to depart from life to be filled with the divine spirit, to host the presence of God. in every place that you find yourself. So this is something that we are all learning. This is really the lesson that God would have us learn, is that we are divine and perfect and whole right now. Right now. You can't add anything on to yourself to make yourself holier or more righteous or more worthy. And you can't lose what God has created you to be forever and ever. You can't lose it. So what we're doing in time and space is simply a reminder course of who and what we've always been. It's a reminder. It's not something you're learning for the first time. You're not trying to become anything. You're simply bringing again to your mind who and what you've always been. A Course in Miracles was given by the Master Jesus as a cosmic wake up, a quickie course, which he said you've already learned before you ever open the book. But you probably won't remember it until you've opened the book and gone through the lessons, 365 of them, that are all the ways that we remember who we are and what we've been forever. And so when you begin to look at yourself from a new perspective of being something very precious, very perfect, very holy, and completely one with your Creator, your whole approach to life and to other people completely changes. There's that transformation of truly being born again of the Spirit. It's literally a rebirth. And although the curriculum has been established, the time in which we take it is self-elected. We've all been chosen, we've all been called. And we get to choose when we respond. We can go through life and the episodes of life that we call incarnations, which are little mini dreams within the overall dream, as many times as we like. It's like the holodeck on Star Trek. We go in and we set a program, and then we get so involved in the program we forget we're in a program and that we can halt it at any moment. And we begin to identify with a character in that program. And then God has to send himself in some form that we can relate to as a being from another dimension, or world, or realm, to enter the holodeck, but stay awake. And such a one was Jesus, the Christ. Such a one was Buddha. Such a one was Rama and Krishna, and all the great ones throughout time. And I said, suppose that there's not just a few of you that have had great incarnations yourself. as a noble man and woman of God, one that spoke truth, one that reminded people, perhaps one that even was martyred because you spoke out at a time and in a point in history when people didn't want to hear the truth. But more and more people are awakening now, and they're ready. They're ready to know. And so let's do a little exercise tonight, again, as we join with our many selves. Everyone is an incarnation of your own. Isn't that an interesting thought? Everyone is your own incarnation, because there's only one spirit here occupying all these forms. Isn't that a wonder? Try that on for a while. Begin to look at everyone as your own incarnation. This is another me. This is who I am. This person is another one of my many expressions. Anyway, let's, in our mind's eye, see the planet Earth right in the center of all of us as light workers, joining hands. And we're standing in space. Because just the thought that we need a floor under our feet is a big illusion, too. In spirit, there's no up, no down, nothing without. And everything is just as we would have it be. Because we are the one that decides how it is to be. And we can change. So as you take the hand of your many selves and form a beautiful circle and a lattice work, if you will, because there's so many of us that we spiral all over the planet, so there's not a single place anywhere on the planet that we're not. We're like a spiral of diamonds sparkling, radiating the love of our Creator and the many, many facets of the heart, mind, and creativity of that Creator, that at the highest level is our own self. And just see us irradiating the planet with the joy and the bliss and the beauty that is our natural self. And we'll join in one voice as we chant the hue, as we sing it as a love song to God, so that every single atom and molecule, all the kingdoms of nature, all of the species, all of the men, women, children, all of the nations, everyone, everywhere, we sing the lullaby of love to them, calling them out to play, calling them out to the freedom that is their natural heritage. Let's take a deep breath, and we'll do three cues. Deep breath. You. Just know that all of creation is singing the name of God. Everyone is chanting the primordial word. Call it you, call it Om. Call it the great Amen. Everything is resonating the light and the sound of God in perfect love and harmony. So what are the things that are coming up for you as lessons? What are the lessons that the Lord God within you is revealing to your awareness? All things are lessons, God would have me learn. You know, the biggest lesson probably that we are unlearning, that the world has taught us, is that we're a body. Jesus defines the body as the fence that we, as the Son of God, imagines that we have built to separate parts of ourselves from other parts. Interesting, huh? And Jesus goes on to say, the body is a dream. Like other dreams, it sometimes seems to picture happiness, but can quite suddenly revert to fear, where every dream is born. For only love creates in truth, and truth can never fear. Made to be fearful, must the body serve the purpose given it? But we can change the purpose that the body will obey by changing what we think it is for. The body is the means by which God's Son, that's you and me and everyone, returns to sanity. The Son of God extends his hand to reach his brother and sister, to help them walk along the road with him. Now the body is holy. Now it serves to heal the mind. You will identify with what you think will make you safe. Whatever it may be, you will believe that it is one with you. Your safety lies in truth and not in lies. Love is your safety. Fear does not exist. Identify with love, and you are safe. Identify with love, and you are home. Identify with love and find yourself. The big capital S. So I just read a portion of the workbook for students that's entitled, What is the Body? Sai Baba and all of the God-realized mystics and saints that I have encountered all say that it's because of attachment to the idea that we are a physical mortal body, that we have every form of problem arise. Jesus has said that the one thing we have not totally lost sight of and forgotten utterly is the body. He says that all of our plans and provisions revolve around the body in some form or another. So somehow, through the grace of the inner teacher, the inner master, the Holy Spirit, we're gradually being taught that we are beyond the body, that we are not a body. We are a vibration that has assumed a thought form, that has taken what we see in the mirror to be who we are. It's a congealed, densified thought form, an image our mind has made that we have convinced ourselves is who we are. So we are learning to identify ourselves as love. Love is birthless, deathless, formless, eternal, omnipresent, all-knowing, all-powerful. God is love. Ideas leave not their source. And we are ideas of love within the heart and mind of God. Therefore, we are always and forever in God, with God, part of God. God within God. We live and move and have our being in an ocean of love that is experienced as Ananda, bliss. So right now, you are God realized, awakening to your own realization. Really speaking, spirituality is simply realization, ever dawning of one's own perfect divinity. Really speaking, you can absolutely jettison any other thought in your mind. But that, I am divine, I am one with God, and let everything else go. If you brought your consciousness back to that point again and again and again, pretty soon it would be so happy there, it wouldn't depart. It would be like a contented kitten, curled up by a nice warm stove. In a nice fluffy bed, because it feels so good. Every remembrance of reality and truth resonates in you as joy, as happiness, as bliss, as that quiet settledness that doesn't need to do or add to or figure out or debate or do anything but stay in that. And then whatever you do is fine. Do whatever shows up to be done that you want to do. There's no have-tos. There's no shoulds. There just is what moves us. And that which moves you is not the false self. There is only one mover, and that is the Divine Spirit. So the two eyes that we look out of, when they are tainted with what is called the mind, the ego mind, which sees everything as dualistic, within polarity, differentiation. When we see through those eyes, we don't see anything as it truly is. We see separation and differentiation. So to get beyond that state, there's many ways to do it, but basically you need to go to the level just above that part that habitually projects separation. Most of us have found that in doing spiritual exercises and getting out of the body, we can transcend the emotions and the mind, which are patterns that become habitual. We get out of a habit through soul transcendence, lifting in the soul body above the mind and emotions. We break those patterns. We begin to live at a higher level that is supremely free and clear. And we're taught how to center our consciousness back inside the head, behind the eyebrow. And we're taught how to look through the inner vision, which when the mind is still and quiet and you've slipped beyond it through chanting your initiatory tone or your mantra, you go to the place like above the bank of clouds, when you're in a flight of an airplane, when you rise above the storm clouds into that brilliant blue sunlight. Just like that, you rise to a place within yourself that's supremely calm and still. And it opens up into a world every bit as real as anything in the physical world, but it's totally lit by the light of the soul, which you could call the eye of God. And you enter into a new state of vibration, of consciousness, of awareness, and of how you see, so that when you come back into the physical levels, you're never quite the same. You're a little brighter and lighter and have a greater degree of pristine clarity with you. That's called the seeing, knowing, and being of soul awareness. You see, you know, and you're centered in your own beingness. These are states that all the masters point to, but you have to do the work to get inside and find them for yourself. They cannot be given from without. What you can do is take the words of enlightened, God-realized men and women, that your good karma and your destiny will lead you to when you're ready, if you're not already connected. And you obey their directives until you get that experience for yourself. Until you do, you're not going to be convinced, because you have to experience it. And it's an inner state that you must enter through your own inner, your intention and your earnestness. You have to have that persistence. Jesus said, we are to knock, and the door will be opened. It's open from within. That we must seek, and then we shall find. We always find what we're seeking. And we are to ask I were to ask, what would you have me do? My beloved Creator, where would you have me go? To whom would you have me speak? And what would you have me say? Use me. Use me, Lord, to be a blessing, to be a walking miracle of your love. Thank you, Lord. You see, that's the difference between a miracle, which is always born of love, and magic, which comes out of the lower consciousness of the human being, working power. So magic is power-based out of the human mental energies. And the miracle is burst of love. And the greatest miracle that has ever been on this planet is you. Because again, wherever you look, there is only the self that you are. There's only the one love reflected in all of these many thoughts of love within the heart and mind of God. Now, that heart of God is wherever love is present. The mind of God is wherever the holy name is spoken. So to be in the presence of God all the time, you walk in that awareness that wherever you are, God is present. I just love to sit in the morning and chant. And when I chant, usually the Gayatri or the there's a version called the Sai Gayatri. The whole world begins to fade. My room begins to fade. All of the things in my room dissolve and vanish because the vibrations dissolve the mind. And when the mind dissolves, all the projections of the mind dissolve with it. And I'm sitting in God. I'm sitting in the light of God that radiates everywhere. There's just the sea of the presence divine. I encourage you to practice this. Be very still. Don't let the constant things going on in the world distract you, but use them as a backdrop for the lesson that God would have you learn, which is to look beyond the appearance, the outer form, the outer scenarios. Look beyond. Look beyond. Look beyond. Until you only see that divine radiance everywhere. You can do it if you want to. If you really, really want this, you will have it. You cannot be denied. But you have to really want it. There's a lesson in the Course in Miracles. I want to see. Above all else, I want to see. When you want to see, you will see. Open my eyes that I may see. Visions of love thou hast for me. beautiful song we sing in unity. So all things are lessons God would have us learn. To look beyond the projections that the lower mind makes, which, interestingly enough, take place only within the mind. There's no outer world. This is all your own theater of consciousness that's going on, which are really opinions, assumptions, beliefs, attachments, habit patterns, ingrained tendencies you brought over from other times. And that constitutes the only reality most people know, until it's their time to awaken and they are contacted by the divine spirit in some way, and they begin to consciously seek and hunger, because there's a hunger and a dissatisfaction that is part of that initial impetus to seek beyond the body, beyond the world, beyond the mind, beyond the news. Which after a while, after the curiosity about wanting to know what's happening in the world and who's doing who to what, or what to whom, after a while you see it's the same thing over and over, just in slightly different languaging and different cultural and historical settings, but it's the same old drama. And after a while you just get tired of it, you know, it gets boring after a while. And then you go through a period of great disenchantment. Maybe that lasts for quite a few lifetimes. But eventually you realize there is something beyond this, and I'm going to find it, and I'm going to find those that know about it, and I'm going to learn from them. I'm going to find a knower who can help me find my own inner knower. So right now, consider this. You are as fully God-realized as you will ever be. You're not going to ever be more than you are in this moment. It's just that you haven't yet fully experienced a true moment. A true moment, 100% experience, is total God realization. Now, how you access it is so simple. It really is as simple as breathing in and breathing out. Because all you need to do is present. Be present in this moment and respond to it from your whole being, from your whole spirit. How do you do that? Appropriately, within the context of the situation. But you don't need anything. You don't want anything. You're not expecting anything. You're not projecting anything. You're simply present as love. And then the whole spirit that you are responds perfectly to that person, place, situation, whatever it is. It automatically is the perfect answer, the perfect word, the perfect expression, and you didn't have to think about it. You didn't have to plan it. You didn't have to strategize it. You didn't have to go over it in your mind. You didn't have to rehearse it. You simply had to be present So when you get out of the mind with its hopes and its wishes and its desires and its agendas, the mind is always greedy. It always wants to use people and things to get something. When you live to give, only then will you find fulfillment. When you live to give. Some of the greatest things we can give to another is simply to be present. Simply to be present. To truly be with them when you are with them. No cell phone. No buzzer. No interruptions. That person in front of you is the only person that exists in the whole universe when you're truly present. There's no other thought. You're 100% one with that person, listening completely with no other thought. Very innocent. That is a holy relationship. That is when God is present. You don't have to go around. Well, maybe in the beginning you do. Maybe in the beginning you need cue cards to keep reminding you this person in front of you is God. This person in front of you is an aspect of yourself. What about if they're screaming and yelling and waving a knife and threatening you? Well, if you can hold presence, you'll dissolve that negative energy. If you can truly hold presence, you can never be hurt. You can never be attacked. You see, we open ourselves up for attack when we get into the lower vibrations of buying into the reality of the scenario. And we're fearful. When we're fearful, we open that door. Or when we're lustful, when we want to get something, when we're greedy, when we feel that we're lacking, when we're envious. Those are those little holes that mess with your reality and make your life miserable and complicated where it need not be. So what are some of the things that God is showing you? We just had 2 weeks here in North America of the most intense storms of historical proportions, where it was very challenging for me, I think for everyone practically, to hold a neutral space and just allow the love of God to pour through you and God's will be done. Gosh, that was hard. For one thing, if you listen to the news or the weather reports or the weather forecasters, if you're an empath, you will tend to vibrate with a fear that comes through the vocal patterns as they obviously are afraid and concerned about what they're seeing on their radars. That was the first thing I noticed, was I had just come back from 2 hours of deep meditation. And usually I go into my day rather gently. I never turn on the TV until the evening, usually. But I was curious to see what was happening with the storm. So coming right out of meditation when I'm completely open and vulnerable and, you know, not at all in a vibration of fear, turn on the TV and immediately I felt the impact of the energies. And I asked the Holy Spirit, I said, how can I be truly helpful? What can I do? You know. And the Holy Spirit said, do nothing. I said, what? He said, do not try to manipulate the energies. Don't try to change the pattern of the storm. Don't try to send it off in another direction. Don't try to do anything. And he went on to say that when people try to manipulate the energies, not really knowing how to do that properly, they create more of a problem. Whereas if you could just be centered and empty and allow the divine spirit to flow love through you in a very neutral way, then you could really serve as a conduit to bring the needed peace, stability, support, and love through into that situation. And so, I did that. It was a relief, actually, because, you know, the truth be said, we don't really know what to do when we see something like that happen. How can we be truly helpful? So that's what we can do. We have been told many times by our teachers not to send the light with any kind of emotion on it, because then the emotion will fortify the fear, because then, you know, if you're praying fearfully, oh, dear God, please help these people, these poor people, you're sending pity, you're sending fear, you're sending upset into the situation. Instead of just kicking back, taking a deep breath, centering yourself, asking to be cleared, and then asking the Holy Spirit just to source through you. Or Jesus, or Mother Mary, or Sai Baba, you know, whoever for you represents that pure divine love, or the mystical traveler, consciousness, the Mahanta, whatever you want to call that. But the point is, be a clear conduit. Don't send energy on your light when you send the light. Don't send energy of fear and distress and worry and concern when you're praying for people. An intercessor is one who prays a prayer that maybe somebody in a dire situation is unable to pray. And so they stand in the gap and they bridge by praying for that person. And it's an action of the Holy Spirit. The only intercessor with a capital I is the Holy Spirit. Many of us call ourselves intercessors, but the work is never done by the human flesh. It's always done by that which is greater than that which is in the world, which would be our physical personas. Having said that, one person centered in God consciousness can change the planet. It only takes one. Jesus goes into great discussion of that, explanation of that in the Course in Miracles, how it only takes one. But that one is you and me and everyone. Because Jesus also goes on in another lesson to say, in another presentation of the Course in Miracles, he will say, the salvation of the world depends on me. And that's a lesson that each one of us goes through when we do the Course in Miracles, which to the ego, of course, seems preposterous. Unless, of course, they have a Messiah complex, which a lot of people do. A lot of people do. They mistake the Christ consciousness and they begin to think they're a reincarnation of Jesus. But Jesus didn't die. Jesus doesn't reincarnate. So how can there be a reincarnation of Jesus? He was the one that demonstrated that you were light, that you remain as God created you. The whole purpose of the crucifixion was to reveal that it's impossible to kill or harm perfect love. And that's why he resurrected. and lives forever. As you and I will as well when we overcome this tomb of the physical body that we think we're in. But it's inevitable. We will awaken. We will awaken from the belief that we are in a body, in a world that's subject to death and destruction. Jesus says in something in the Course that is just so riveting. He said we have to learn to look upon devastation and say, this is not real. It's hard, you know, looking at the scenarios on television last week, to look on that and keep reminding yourself, this is not real, this is not real. Like any dream, it sure seems real. It sure seems real, doesn't it? But every dream seems real when you're in it. And we're just going to have to take the words of Jesus and Sai Baba and Nisargadatta Maharaj and all of these great enlightened souls, we're going to have to take their word that this whole thing is an image that exists nowhere but in our own mind. And when we transcend and dissolve that mind in the light and love and sound of God, there is only the presence of God. That's all that remains. But beyond this world that we dream we see is the world we share eternally with our Creator. And that is probably the greatest discovery and revelation that we will have, is that beyond this world that we think we see out of these two eyes, through a mind that's constantly interpreting things according to separation, when we get above that and beyond that, that we're actually going to see the real world that we share with our Creator eternally. And we don't die to get to it. The world is not left through death, but by the dissolution of the mind. So those of you that want to get off the planet, that want to die, that want to be beamed up on a spaceship, that want to walk into another dimension, forget it. You can't get there from that approach. It's simpler, beloveds. It's actually simpler. You dissolve the mind. But in that process, you're not alone. God has sent His Spirit to dwell within you as the teacher, as the inner master. There's only one teacher and one inner master, and it's for everyone, and that's the Holy Spirit. Any other teacher that's really a teacher, that's really a guru, that's really a master, operates through the same Holy Spirit. Jesus did all of His works through the same Holy Spirit. Sai Baba does all of His works through the same Holy Spirit. Not one of the masters will ever say they're a body, will ever say or point to themselves as being different in any way from you. That's one thing. You'll never find a master going around bragging that they're a master, or that they're the reincarnation of Jesus, for example. I mean, if that were so, they would be the least in need of having to say that. For one thing, you know why the masters don't disclose that they're masters? Because it would be an infliction on your free will, which demands that you recognize them yourself. They can't go around saying, I'm so-and-so and so-and-so, because that would not give you the freedom to recognize that particular being yourself. Very, very interesting. You find a lot of people today going around making claims. We can all rightfully claim that we are divine, we're embodiments of the divine, we are the Son of God and the collectivity. But when you go around saying you're the only one, there are no others, and everyone should come and follow you because you are the one, then you know it's baloney. Then you know somebody's gotten off on a messianic glamorous trail. Because real masters, you know who they're interested in? You. They're not interested in talking about themselves. They don't need to talk about themselves because they know who they are. And when a person is one with that God self, they don't have to advertise it any more than you have to point and tell somebody the sun has risen. You can see it. And so when that immortal Son of God that you are begins to eclipse your entire personality with the glory of the immortal, resurrected, true life that you truly are, nobody has to point it out. It is obvious. And those that are meant to see that will recognize that. And those that aren't ready to see that won't have that opportunity to see it yet. They're still needing a little more time to play in the playground of duality and illusion and glamour and things that go bump and scrape in the dark. But every single one will awaken. Every single one. Why? Because God wishes to awaken in its many selves, pure and simple. And when everyone awakens, this world will laugh and laugh and laugh as it dissolves into the eternal bliss that's always held it safe. And you along with it. So, ponder some of the things that you are being taught. It's different for each one of us. But pay attention and notice. And be very, very happy that none of this destruction is really real. That everyone will come out better in every way. Because another lesson in the Course of Miracles, Jesus tells us that a happy outcome to all things is assured. So just hold on to some of these precious, precious teachings that Jesus, who is the embodiment of the Holy Spirit, is here to teach us. And be happy and grateful. And thank God none of this is real. Thank God no one dies, no one's destroyed. Thank God. That's the greatest thing to remind yourself. Thank God we're all safely home. In love. Forever and ever. And not one single soul will be lost, left behind, or forsaken. We're all home now. Let's remind ourselves. Let's remind ourselves all the time. So let's raise our hands and send our love and our light and our blessings Allow the Holy Spirit to send its love through each of us as just an empty vessel, that we could be present as love, that we can be present as light and strength and support and laughter and lightness of being and a great source of support and comfort to our sleeping brothers and sisters who in the majority wouldn't have a clue what I'm talking about tonight. But those of you who are conscious light workers, you know very well your purpose and why you're here. And it's simply to be the love of God, intangible manifestation, wherever you are. And you are loved, and you are blessed, and you are the love, and you are the blessing, wherever you are. So God bless you. We love you. Peace. Be still. Namaste.